I want to testify, before we even get into this, that I am a happy child of God. And I wanted to share with you a secret that you may not know about me. So I'm going to tell it to you this morning. I'm very wealthy. Did you know that? Did you know? I'm very rich. And I want to share with you my wealth and my rich. I am LaDonna Beth Adams. My father is Thomas McMillan. My mother is Vonda McMillan. My father's parents is Veda and Carrie McMillan. My mother's parents is Oscar and Margie Wall. So I've drawn up here a family tree. And this is what I wanted to deal with this morning, the heritage. I have been raised in a Christian home where God has been high and lifted up, and He was the center of our home. My mother made sure we were at church every time the doors were open. We might have been right on time, but we weren't late. But we were always there, unless we were sick. And if you were sick, you definitely were in bed. You weren't up doing anything. You were too sick to go to church. You were too sick to get out of bed. But we didn't really use that as an excuse. And I want to talk to you about my grandfather and grandmother, Oscar and Margie Wall. I've been blessed with Brother Veda and Sister Carrie, as you would know them, were ministers in the gospel. And so I have a rich heritage because they lifted God in their lives, and it affected me. But I'm particularly talking about the Oscar and Margie, and I will tell you why. They live next door to us. Grandpa and Grandma retired in the early 70s, so I'm going to give you a little background here just to discuss my riches here. Grandma and Grandpa retired in the early 70s from Arkansas to Oklahoma. Grandpa was a farmer. So he retired to Oklahoma to take care of 80 acres of land with two ponds, over 80 head of cow. He had a hay barn. He had a hog barn that had over 100 head of hogs. And would sell them periodically, and a shed. I saw him and Grandma build the barns, and they didn't have any help. It was just them. And I saw them build the fences. I was there. I was probably the nagging tag-along, but I followed in my grandfather's footsteps a lot. And I loved to hear the sound of the crunch of gravel on his work boots. He wore overalls and a plaid shirt. And I laughed to myself thinking, they retired to 80 acres. He was a farmer before, but now that he was retired, farming was now the fun. It wasn't the hard work in Arkansas, it was the fun. And he was high and lifted up. He held the Lord high and lifted up. He and Grandma both, I openly heard them testify. They were at church every time the doors were open. We traveled in the same vehicle. They openly testified. They sang to the Lord. They praised the Lord. I heard them pray. I saw them pray. And I watched their lives. My grandparents loved their children. They had 5 children and they had 13 grandchildren. There were 5 children. There was an uncle that lived in California, and he would come to visit in Oklahoma every other year. He tried to make sure that his family got to be with his parents every other year. So every other year, and there was years in between too, but Grandpa and Grandma had a wingding for all of us. And they paid particular attention to us, and I want to share with you my wealth, okay? We played kickball, and Grandpa usually was the pitcher. Grandpa took us fishing in a fishing hole. We'd come home and cook the fish that we got, plus some others that he had already stacked up. So we had a fish fry. Grandma made some of the best hot rolls. Everyone loved Grandma's hot rolls. And the best fried chicken. We also had limitless homegrown watermelon. because my grandpa had a half, I forgot to insert, he had a half acre garden that he tended to. And there was limitless watermelon, fresh corn on the cob, tomatoes, wonderful. He would take us swimming. We all went swimming. He'd load us up in the back of the Ford pickup. Some of them were in the cab. That would not even be legal now. Take us down to the lake, and we all swam together. Well, how did we all swim together? Because we all had our clothes on. So we loaded back up in the pickup, came back home, and by the time we came home, the Oklahoma winds had dried us out. Grandpa also had a sense of humor, and Grandma was his best audience, and she loved to laugh. And she was a short woman, I think I'd take after her, and was slightly chubby, and when she would laugh, her whole body would laugh. And he could say things with a straight face and make her whole body laugh. That was just... And one Thanksgiving, he was very proud to serve this double-crusted, beautiful pie to everyone with a smile on his face. Grandma was laughing already. We should have known something was up. But it was a turnip pie. And the look on everyone's faces was just what Grandpa was wanting. He loved a good, practical joke. He loved to laugh with you, and he might laugh at you a little bit sometimes. But more importantly, Grandma and Grandpa loved the Lord. Their prayer life wasn't on Sundays only. It was every day of the week. I heard Grandma... I'm getting ahead of myself. I watched my grandparents live, but I also watched them die. In the 10th year, I think about 10 years that he was there, the last 9 months of his life was spent in a bed. He was never formally diagnosed, but he was a robust man. He had a farmer's tan. He could do anything with his hands. But I saw him shrivel up to a skeleton with just skin over it, with extreme pain in his back. Can't you see anything in my back? I hurt so bad. So you can draw your own conclusions as to what took my grandfather's life. I don't know. The Lord knows. But as he was in that valley of affliction, the Lord was still high and lifted up in his life. And I never resented him laying there. I was 15 at this time. I didn't want him to go. I felt... You want your grandparents to live forever, especially those kind. But I also knew that life and chance happens to us all, so I wasn't resentful of that. But, you know, he was not resentful in his valley of affliction either. I never heard him curse God. I never heard a bad word out of his lips. He was a faithful man. And I appreciate my grandfather Wall. And he prayed for me. Grandma told me about it later. I didn't know it then. But he prayed for me. He prayed, Lord, give her a good companion. I was 15. Yes, I was looking for the boys or looking at the boys, but I wasn't near any age to be serious, but he had already prayed for me. That's the heritage I have. So when I kiss my husband every morning before he goes off to work, I thank my grandparents for praying for me. It meant something. Grandma, he died at the age of 72. Grandma outlived him by 20 years. So 20 years forward, she was on her deathbed. Hers was not a prolonged illness. It was just very short. And we knew that things were drawing to an end with her. And I wanted to go. So I asked my husband, can I go be with Grandma? And he hugged me and said, you only have one Grandma Wall. Go be with her. And I said, Lord, if you think I can handle being with her when she takes her last breath, I want to be there. When you receive her into your glory, I want to be there. So I started on my trip from Alabama at 10:30 at night. So that means I got to Oklahoma around 10 o'clock the next morning. The Lord helped me, kept me awake, and I was so thankful for that. And 12:30, the Lord called her home. And I got to be there. and it was precious. She was 97 years old, and her desire had been, Lord, help me to outlive my family by your grace and help and strength. And she was the oldest living member of her family. She had several that reached 90s, but hers was 97. Trusting the Lord all the way. I told you I was rich. You believe me now, don't you? But I want us to go into the scriptures. Genesis, the 25th chapter. They brought to me a heritage. My grandparents, my mother, brought to me a heritage I don't want to lose. It's important to me. It's important enough. I want my children to have it. And I want my grandchildren to have it. I want someday for their name to be at the top and mine at the bottom, because I prayed for them, because they meant something to me. Genesis 25 and 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and swear unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Do you realize how serious that was? He had a heritage too. Grandpa Abraham, who prayed for him, but it wasn't that important to him. And he sold it for his appetite. And that's the burden I have. If you were given this wonderful heritage, what are you doing with it? Have you sold it? I pray that you don't. I'm begging you not to. Because it's that important. Is it important enough to you to value it, to pass it on to your children and grandchildren? Esau despised his. Hebrews 12 and 15 talks about it. It's the one where he sought it with tears. With many tears. Okay, thank you. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I've seen people sell their birthrights over bitterness. Can you believe that? I've seen them sell it for hurt feelings. Did you not value it? And I'm looking at a crowd, and I don't see one person that cannot be offended or hurt. We all can be offended and hurt. But how much do you value the heritage? How much does it mean to you? Are you willing to sell it so cheaply? Because that's what happened with Esau. And he sought it with many tears. And do you know? It didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything, and he could not get it back. There are things that are passed down to you. Tempers. Have you ever heard of that one? Well, he's got a temper like so-and-so. Bitternesses. You think about that. If mom and dad didn't like so-and-so for whatever reason, then I don't like so-and-so for so-and-so reason. I don't like hearing them preach Do you realize you're selling a birthright? That's a very serious thing. If you have a neglect in attendance, what do you think your children are going to do? If you only show up Sunday morning, when are they going to show up? You are count Easter and Christmas. Because they take it a step further. Why not give them the heritage of faithful attendance? Why not give them a love to be in services like you have? Don't sell that birthright so cheaply. There have been other things that people sell their birthright for, and this is one that concerns me. The Lord made our minds to think. He made our minds to learn. He made our minds to do these things. It's precious. I value that. But I've seen people sell their birthrights after a semester class. A professor comes along and says, what is truth? What is relevance? What does it mean? A teacher, maybe. I'll give you an example of a teacher I had in seventh grade, a social studies teacher. He had a lot of liberal ideas. I was very young and impressionable, and I did not realize the agenda he had. But looking back on it, I know the Lord protected me in that place. But he had an agenda on hand, and it was a very liberal one. And when I walked away from his class and examined it years later, he was in a marriage with a former student. That tells you, all you have to do is follow their lives, okay? They might purport to you, you need to question it. You need to examine it. We need to look at this from this angle because you've always been taught from this angle. And you know what happens is you sell your birthright because it wasn't that valuable to you. Value that birthright. And what he presented in the classroom, he should have been taken out of class. He eventually retired from that position. And he, as I've understood it, is now a she. Does that tell you anything? Follow his life. Okay, the professor that purports this. Not too long ago in the University of Alabama at Huntsville, a professor was disgruntled with the fact that she was being released from her duties. And she came in to their meeting with a gun and killed three of them and injured others. And when they brought her to the car with handcuffs, she says, oh, that didn't really happen. Now, tell me, was that relevant? Now, tell me where truth is there. And the officer said, you tell that to the families that you've destroyed their lives in. That's what that kind of thinking does. Don't sell your birthright for that. It's too valuable. It's what you want to hand to your children. It's what you want to hand to your grandchildren. It's too precious. It's to be loved. I'd like to go to 2 Kings, the second chapter. In the first verse, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Let that be your attitude toward your heritage, toward your birthright. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Be quiet. I understand that. But I have something that's important here, and I'm hanging on to it. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered again, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Keep quiet. I've got something I'm going to take care of here. And Elisha said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's a wonderful thing to ask, isn't it? Oh, Lord, if the God of heaven was high and lifted up in their lives, let it be in my life too. And I'm not going to ask it. I'm going to ask times two. Let it be double portion of that spirit. I want that. I crave that. I'm going to cling to that. I'm going to be there when the Lord takes you away. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it can't. Why do you think Elisha wants to stick with him now? I want that double portion of that spirit. I'm going to stick with you, brother. Then it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You've been left a mantle. It's yours. When he came to that Jordan River, he knew his question, the answer to it. But he said, Where is the God of Elijah? Because he is the same God I have too. He is just the same today. If he was the God of my grandparents and my mother, then he can be my God too. And when you smote those things that are impossible to pass over, they'll part because of the heritage that you're given. Do you value it? Is it precious to you? Do you want it more than anything else? I remember my grandfather McMillan on the other side talking to his family at a reunion. We'd all sat down just before we ate. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I'm not leaving you with a lot of money. I'm not leaving you with a lot of land or property. But I give you Jesus. And I remember thinking, that's the most important thing he could have given. And I appreciate it. It's mine now. The God of Veda McMillan, the God of Carrie, the God of Oscar and Margie Wall, the God of Vonda McMillan is my God too. And I love it. I appreciate it. Now you're asking yourself, well, I'm not wealthy like you. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And I'm going to tell you, by the help of the Lord, change your family tree. Amen. Give it to your children. Amen. I've seen too many watch the pattern. An abused child becomes what kind of adult? An abuser. What a legacy. I didn't have that in mine. But you might have it in yours. Change it. Don't give that to your children. Don't let them have to pass through those kinds of fires that destroy them. Give them something godly. Give them something righteous. Help them to know with confidence. My mom, my dad, my grandparents, they're praying for me. And it counts. It matters. It means something. Don't give them a cursing. Give them a blessing. And I say that again. Through Jesus Christ, I will tell you as a report, Grandma and Grandpa had 5 children, and they had 13 grandchildren. I would like to think that they valued that, but many of them did not. And I will tell you, they loved Grandma and Grandpa, but their lives are not as blessed as Grandma and Grandpa's life was. Because of it wasn't precious to them. They kept thinking that the limitless watermelons, the kickball, the swimming, because when we get together, they want to reminisce about that. But that's not why Grandma and Grandpa were fun. They were in obedience to the Lord. They valued their children. They valued their grandchildren. They were willing to do anything for them. And why did they value them? Because they love the Lord. If you want to give your family and your children the very best, don't limit it to just the material things of this life. Give them God. Give them Jesus. Give them the same God of Elisha and Elijah so that you can have that mantle and have that double portion of His Spirit. I desire you pray for me.